Derek Carr back into the gun, backs out, steps up, fire, touchdown Raiders! Carrier, he did go to one of his tight ends. No doubt about it. Derek Carrier is sixth year out of Fresno State. Yeah, baby. And John Gruden with a big smile on the sideline.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to Studio 66. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Head & Shoulders. We have much to discuss, including, unfortunately, what happened up in the East Bay to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, unfortunate for Steelers fans, glorious, I'm sure, for Oakland Raiders fans, including one David Carr, who roots for his younger brother Derek to do well, which Derek did, much to my chagrin. We'll talk to David Carr about that game and some other things going on in pro football in just a little bit. In the meantime, seated to my immediate left, a Pittsburgh native, so we're lousy with Pittsburgh natives here in Studio 66 right now. He is he's a longtime Steeler, played for the Giants, played for the Bears, and it's Ryan Mundy. What's happening, man?
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. As we were just talking about, I'm just happy to be in the sunshine right now.
Yeah, you escaped Chicago.
I did.
And yeah, by the way, I want to make a quick mention to you too. We're doing gangbuster stuff here with the DDFP this week. We had Bill Burr on Monday's show, so make sure you go back and listen to that one. And then coming up, we have the picks for a pivotal Week 15. We're getting to, people overuse the phrase, it's a must-win game.
Yeah.
We're getting awfully close to must-win games here.
Yeah.
Four teams like your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Coach Tomlin used to always say December football is a little bit different. The stakes are a lot higher. And last time I checked, it is December. Mm-hmm. And now teams are gearing up. You got to start building that momentum to head into the playoffs. Hopefully for my Pittsburgh Steelers, they can turn things around and move into the right direction. But I think they're on a 3-game losing streak right now, which is not good momentum, but they still have an opportunity to go out there and do what they need to do.
Well, what do you think about? Let's start there. It makes too much sense to go away from your, like I say, a Pittsburgh native, and then you got the play for the Steelers. But first of all, a little detour up to Ann Arbor, Michigan for 4 years of matriculation. But yeah. What was that like? Was that meaningful to you? Did you grow up a fan of the Steelers?
Yeah. I mean, you're from Pittsburgh and you know how it is. Like, you really don't have much of a choice when you're born in Pittsburgh. Like, they give you a terrible towel at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little bit rebellious as a kid. I'm sometimes anti, and everybody goes right, I go left. So like my favorite teams growing up, well, I didn't necessarily have favorite teams, but I had favorite players. So like Deion Sanders and Terrell Davis and Barry Sanders, those were like my favorite players.
I'm not familiar with those names in particular.
Yeah, I mean, there were some guys who just,
okay,
you know, went on.
I'm sure they were fine.
Field.
Were very good.
Yeah, I think they ended up with some raggedy gold jacket or something like
okay,
that.
Yeah, whatever their fashion choices, that's their business.
Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, who really wants a gold jacket at the end of the day?
I mean, what's it go with, really?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, unless you're wearing black and then back to the Steelers.
Yeah, that works.
So you didn't necessarily grow up a Steelers fan, so it wasn't a dream come true or what? I mean, obviously,
It absolutely was. So as you mentioned, coming out of high school, I went to, and I have to just shamelessly plug my high school, Woodland Hills High School.
We'll get to your high school in just
a little bit.
We're going to do some, what we've,
oh, we're
we've
doing
got
full
a
spectrum.
Game played. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so quick stop in Ann Arbor, 4 years there, and then played in West Virginia for a graduate year, and then I come home and get drafted in the sixth round, 194th pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then to cap it off, we won a Super Bowl that year. So, I mean, I couldn't have dreamt that up or had, you know, came out to Hollywood and asked somebody to write a movie script with that. That was amazing to come home, be drafted home, and then to win a Super Bowl, you know, in front of my family, friends, and everybody who helped me along the way. It was truly magical.
Were you on the field for the James Harrison touchdown?
I was not on the field.
Oh, no.
I was not a contributor at all in that game. I was along for the ride. But, you know, just being in that environment as a rookie and particularly on that team where we just had such legendary type players, really, I think, laid a solid foundation for me to.
Yeah, you're backing up a guy who's going to get a gold jacket, Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark.
This gold jacket stuff again.
Yeah, one of the nastiest hitters that I've ever watched, Ryan Clark. So two guys that were probably good for you to learn from, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I sat this close to Troy and that close to Ryan on a daily basis. And, you know, that, again, was a great opportunity for me just not only to learn how to be a good football player, but just to learn how to be a good man, right? Those are two outstanding individuals.
Boy, I mean, Ryan Clark is really one of the great fellows that I've come across in the last decade or so of working in pro football. And Troy Polamalu, sneaky sense of humor. That's what people don't know about him, right?
He'll definitely get you. Yeah, Troy is the silent assassin or the silent comedian, for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So Mike Tomlin is really on the banks of the Three Rivers this week, really getting it from the fans, from even Rocky Blyer, Steelers legend, saying that he's done with this team.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of noise about Coach T. And this happens to any guy who hangs around long enough. You know, if you're a head coach for long enough, people are going to start calling for your head.
Right.
Where do you come down on Mike Tomlin, the head coach?
No, I'm a firm believer in Coach Tomlin. And I think, you know, he has the goods to right the ship. But those guys, I think they really need to buy in. And they have to cancel out the outside noise and start to get into the foxhole and say, look, man, we only have a handful of games left in this season, and this will define our legacy moving forward. So I'm still always going to be there with those guys. And it's funny that you say Rocky, because we were all actually in Pittsburgh last week celebrating Super Bowl 43 anniversary. And also it was great to celebrate the Super Bowl 13 anniversary with those guys. So, you know, got to see Rocky and all those guys. And unfortunately, we lost that game. But yeah, I think those guys still have an opportunity to do what they need to do. And, you know, winning cures all. And so, like, if you could go out there and take care of business and make the playoffs, and anything can happen.
What do you think, though, about specifically, this is not the same, all games that you need to win are not created equal. I would not want to have a game that you got to get and have it be against Belichick and Tom Brady.
That's a tall task.
Yeah.
That is a very tall task.
Why is it, the scheme? You were there with Dick LeBeau. Is it a matter that Brady and Josh McDaniels and beyond just understand that basically spread out the Steelers with what they want to do? I know that they're not playing the LeBeau scheme so much as they are Tomlin's Tampa 2 style, but what is it that allows Brady to vanquish the Steelers so consistently?
You know what? I would challenge that statement consistently, because when I was on the team, I think we fared pretty well against them. But just overall, I mean, Tom is an incredible talent, and their scheme, it goes well against man and it goes well against zone. So it's kind of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And then you add in some like freakish athletes like Gronk, and then some nice plug and play guys that they've been able to insert over the years that know the system and can go out there and execute the system. It makes it really difficult.
Do you have your eye on a team? Do you like, as a guy who played on the back end of defense, do you like seeing, or are you annoyed by what the Chiefs have been able to do? Basically an unstoppable offense for the vast majority of 2018. Are they the team that you're looking at, Chargers, or is it more now as we see the Bears rising back up defensively and the Seahawks and so on?
Yeah, I think all those teams are really strong contenders this year. I'm a big fan of what the Chiefs are doing, and that Mahomes throw, the no-look throw, did you see that?
I saw it, yes.
Really? Like, that guy is amazing.
That was in a game,
That was in a real-life game, and people don't understand how impressive that play was. Guys can't even do that in practice with no defenders on the field, let alone in a game in a real life situation. I do like the Chargers, though. They are like really sneaky. Mm-hmm. And I told guys last week when we were at the game, I was like, you know what? Watch out for these guys, you know, because nobody's really talking about them. They're playing second fiddle here in LA to the Rams, but they are quietly, you know, climbing the ranks.
Oh, I'm with you.
They are a very strong contender.
I said in August, in fact, I said it's going to be the Rams and Chargers, and now all in the Super Bowl, and now all of a sudden, I feel a little more confident in the Chargers getting there than the Rams, given the performance up in Chicago. Is that attributable to just the cold, or is it at this point in the season that this is where every NFL team has shown what they have in the playbook, and now all the defenses have gotten a good look at what that looks, what teams' tendencies are, and now the defenses start to catch up?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, and then I'll just throw in a wild card there. I just don't like West Coast teams traveling to the East and playing games. So I'm always betting against that. But yeah, I think the Bears are in a really good groove now defensively. Offensively, I think they still have some retooling to do. Trubisky obviously is coming back from injury, so he's kind of shaking some rust off. And I seen a tweet from like their last five touchdowns, and it's just like a hodgepodge group of guys. And even on Sunday, like their only touchdown in the game was to an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. I don't know how sustainable that is moving forward, but it was nice to see Jordan Howard in the ground game getting going. But going back to the defense, I mean, those guys are literally lights out. So that, for me as a defender,
yeah,
I mean, that's particularly awesome. And when I was with the Bears, we were got awful on defense, so it's really great to see.
Don't talk bad about yourself like that, but really, but for real though, isn't it crazy that the story has been, including 54-51 just a month ago out here, isn't it funny now that, as you look specifically at the NFC, Seahawks, Cowboys, and Bears are all about their defenses before you talk about their offenses. And really, with the Cowboys, it's all about Zeke, that complimentary style, and dominate, spin the clock, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is this a battle for the soul of pro football going forward now? Does the defense need to rise up, or do you think ultimately in what's been predominantly the year of the offense, that the offenses will end up winning out in Super Bowl
50. The adage is like, you know, defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that to be true. But in this day and age in NFL football, you know, you need to be able to score 30 points to win a game. That's just my personal belief, which is, you know, going back to the Bears, they need to figure out how to score 30 points if they really want to be a strong contender for the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, the Cowboys, I'm really impressed with their defense. That game versus the Saints, they were playing some physical football out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jalen Smith was out there flying around. And it was good to see, you know, like that old school hard-hitting football. So I think, you know, we're figuring out what the new landscape looks like in the NFL, particularly with some of these rules that are put in place so that offenses can score points. But yeah, I think defensive coordinators will continue to adjust and will just continue to evolve.
Yeah, it really was sort of sad the way the Rams looked up in Chicago. It just looked like they were SoCal surfer boys, completely out of their element.
That's why.
they did not like being in the cold at all.
Yeah, it was a little nasty.
But maybe the football gods will reward them for their success this season and just make it so that they don't have to go up north. That's the way it's shaping up, is that they're going to be able to dodge that. Same thing for the Saints this year. It's likely that they're either going to be playing a title game in the Dome in New Orleans or out in sunny SoCal.
So. Yeah, I'm sure that will bode well for both of those teams. But, you know, and I think in addition to that, Soldier Field – it's just a nasty surface, and I think that throws a lot of teams off. That's not really talked about.
And it's also people don't realize that it when you're right next to that lake like that, it's a for real 25-degree difference versus like a mile further inland, right?
It's very real.
It's so much
that
colder.
Wind is coming off.
If you see 35 degrees, yeah, it feels like it's about like 5 degrees.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, the psyche of the Windy City, mm-hmm, it plays a lot into it. So guys are like, oh, man, Chicago's cold. And then, yeah, it's not terrible, and the Windy City actually has nothing to do with the wind in Chicago, but you know, I think that's a big part of it as well.
Look, who knows his history? Yes, that was attributed to turn of the century politicians for being windbags.
Yeah.
Although then I've recently been reading that's the myth, and it is at least in part owed to the physical wind that whips.
I mean, there's
the
a
city.
Lot of truth to that, because that wind does come off of the lake pretty strong.
Oh, if you're shopping on the Miracle Mile, yeah, if you're out there right now, yeah, it stings.
Yeah.
That wind will just go right through you.
Absolutely. No chance.
Now, you matriculated, like we say, in part up in Ann Arbor. What are your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I think this was definitely an improvement for them this year. But there was still a bad start to the season and a bad end to the season. Mm-hmm. So those two games in the middle, those two must-wins versus Penn State and Michigan State, those were down years for, I think, both of those programs. So, you know, we'll give them some credit for that, but we need that win versus Notre Dame, and we need that win versus Ohio State.
That's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah, we need those. We have to have those, for sure.
So what do you think? So Jim Harbaugh, please come back in 2019? Or it's like, all right, you've had a long time, and it doesn't take 5 years anymore to build a big-time college program, certainly with the pull to recruit that that Michigan has. And by the way, maybe answer it from both sides. Does Michigan want him back? And do you suspect deep down that Jim Harbaugh is really hankering to get back to the NFL?
I don't suspect the latter.
Really?
No, I don't. I think and I do believe that Michigan wants him back. And then I always put it in terms like this. What is the alternative?
That's a great point.
You know, so if you don't want Jim Harbaugh there and fans are calling for his job winning, who are you going to go out there and get? Right. There's no real like coaching tree. Like, oh, like this is a top tier coach. Let me go pick one off of this tree. Mm-hmm. So there's really not a strong alternative out there right now. But I think 2019, hopefully those guys, you know, Don Brown has been doing an excellent job with the defense, although I think they need to start implementing a little bit more zone coverage because those guys played man to man the entire season. And that was exploited versus Ohio State. And he didn't really give those guys a break calling some zones to kind of, you know, give them a breather instead of chasing guys down all day. They're a talented team. They have a great coaching staff. And now, and I was talking about this last night with a buddy, I don't know what it is that really gets us over the hump. I think they need some guys from the other side of the tracks with a little bit of moxie, a little bit of edge to them to maybe mix up the locker room a little bit. That I think that would help because Michigan is traditionally known as like a, you know, like a button-up type school a little bit. I think there's a little bit of arrogance associated with the program. But hopefully, you know, we could turn it around in 2019, and I'm a full believer in it.
There are a couple guys with whom you're familiar named Maurice Jones-Drew and Ike Taylor who will tell you repeatedly that you need a little bit of nasty in the locker room to get over the hump.
You need a
little bit. That being said, let's say the Cleveland Browns call Jim Harbaugh and say, listen, we got this kid who looks good as a QB. You can take him to the next level. And, you know, we want you to be the man here in Cleveland for the next few years. Would Jim Harbaugh say no to that? That's the best situation I can come up with. I'm trying to think of another good spot that you'd want to land in if you're a big-name head coach.
Yeah, I think he says no.
Really?
I do think he says no.
All right, we'll see.
Well, I'm hoping he says no, selfishly.
That's what he's already announced. He said he's staying at Michigan, but I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, what's it been, 5 years for him up there?
Yeah, close to it. I think he's going into five.
Oh, these are...
Put it like this. You know, from a competitive standpoint, when you go back to your alma mater and you set goals and you don't really accomplish those goals, and then you just kind of leave for greener pastures, I don't know if that would sit well with him as a man.
I hear you completely on that. But I also think he probably feels like, man, I've left some meat on the bone up in the NFL as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, either way, there's meat on the bone at Michigan or there's meat on the bone in the NFL. But, again, selfishly, I hope he sticks around because I do think they're really close to turning the corner.
That's interesting that you say selfishly because I would not – but you also point to the two losses in the big rivalry games. That is interesting to me, like how that would sit with me if I were – a Michigan guy that, you know, he can't, but then again, Herb's gone. By the way, do you just, you know, take a swing at it and we'll see. Urban Meyer goes to the NFL, not to college. He's not retired no matter what. He can say he's retired. I think
it sounds good.
What about this? Belichick wins the Super Bowl this year. Then he says, now I have nothing left to do. Hey, Herb, you're my friend. I'd like you to take over because Josh McDaniels is moving on to wherever he's moving on to this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's an NFL head coach? I don't know if he's.
I kind of do. I don't
really?
Know. Well, because I don't know. I know that a year removed from whatever happened at Ohio State, you know, in the offseason, you know, all the ugliness there. I don't know that even a big name program is going to want to associate, you know, maybe a year will that stuff will die down a little bit,
yeah.
But I think he would be better off going to the NFL because he won't have to answer that stuff as much as he would if he's now taking over for another group of 18-year-old kids.
I wouldn't blame him if he made that jump, but I could see the Nick Saban scenario replaying itself over and over again. Well, over again, for sure.
Ah.
Yeah.
Won't be able to elevate that.
You know, you got to take that shot, right? And you'll never know until you actually take that shot. And if you take that shot and you fail, then you fail.
What does that say about a guy that he can succeed in college, but it doesn't elevate to the pros? Is that a scheme thing, or is that you don't know how to relate to 28-year-old millionaires as well as you do to 19-year-old kids?
I think it's more relatability type thing. When you're talking to 18, 19-year-old kids as opposed to talking to a 30-year-old, 8-year NFL veteran, that's a very different dynamic. And, I think that's the biggest driver. Schematically, you know, football is pretty much football. And the biggest difference is just levels of execution. So the guys in the NFL do what the guys in college do, but they do it at a much proficient and efficient level. I just think it's just the interpersonal skills and like having the command of a room, NFL locker room, is much different than having the command of a...
So in other words, you really would have that, you'd be a more compelling, not compelling, Bob Knight is an interesting figure.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't translate if he's talking
that would
to
not work.
If he's talking to the Golden State Warriors, they'd be like, "Hey, listen, we got this. You know, we'll take care of business.
Yeah.
Please stop yelling.
Yeah.
You know,
no, don't throw a chair.
Yes, right.
Yeah, don't throw a chair.
So in a way, you would say you're a more grounded, sort of soul, right? If you can relate to, if you're Joe Torre for the Yankees relating to the millionaires. I don't know. What does that say about you? You want to be in a position where you're empowered to, you know, if you're a college, if you're Nick Saban, mm-hmm. those kids can't really yap back at you.
No, they can't. Or their scholarship will likely be.
Right.
So that's an interesting dynamic to think about, that power dynamic. And maybe that's an ego thing. I don't know. Or maybe that's a skill set thing. Like, I just relate better to people in this demographic, in this type of situation. And there's no right answer to that, but you need to figure out what works for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I always say I would rather be an NFL head coach, although you're more likely to get fired more quickly. But I wouldn't also want in January and February to have to be going on those recruiting.
Yeah,
I mean, would stink.
Recruiting is so different now. I mean, guys go on these trips and they do like these photo shoots.
Yeah.
Every school they go to, I'm...
Head up to Saginaw. There's a blue chipper up there. Nah, one of you guys. I don't want to...
Yeah.
Snowy and cold. Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's a different landscape. And, you know, when you add in social media, it's different.
Just drive over. It's like 3-hour drive. Snowy in the hills, but he's in Altoona. It's going to be worth the drive, Coach. Just if he doesn't want to cut, just let him know we're interested. If he wants to show up in August, we'll be ready for him. Hey, we want to play a quick game. We're talking recruiting and all that. You were a blue chip guy yourself in Pittsburgh, PA, as a high school kid. Tell us, though, quickly about Swizzle. What do you got going there? You spend your time. You go to Michigan, and you go to West Virginia, and then you go to Pittsburgh, and then you go to the Giants, you go to the Bears. Iconic organizations throughout. Now you have your own.
Yeah. So Swizzle is a response to the massive plastic straw ban that's going on across the country. And when you ban something, you need to think about, again, what's the alternative? And it's a very simple entrepreneurial solution. And I saw it in the news headlines, plastic straw ban here, plastic straw ban there. Well, what are they replacing it with? And so Swizzle, we have a B2C offering where we have 2 stainless steel straws, 1 cleaning brush, and an eco-chic, eco-friendly type case. We have a catalog of maybe about 1 million different prints and designs. So it's a nice little like fashion piece you could pull out of your bag or women your purse and say like, oh, look at my nice little straw.
I like that. And that's clever. You carry it with a traveling one.
Yeah, carry it on your person. And it's a new behavior, but we've seen a great response with that. And then on the flip side, we do have a B2B offering where we sell paper and also PLA, which is made of cornstarch and or sugarcane at scale. So right now, our paper straw capacity sits at around 100 million straws per month, and we're trying to sell to restaurants, hospitality groups, NFL stadiums, and across the board. So if you serve a drink, you're a potential customer.
Wow. Best wishes with that. That's clever. And that does, I mean, not to have a political discussion or anything, whatever side of the thing you're on, when they talk about, global warming and all that, it does seem to me, yes, these sorts of industry, this industry is available to anyone who can come up with how to fill that vacuum. Like you say, we can't do it this way anymore.
Right.
We have to figure out a new way to do it. And that is going to create, presumably, industry. And
absolutely.
Ryan Mundy's in on it.
Yeah, absolutely. in Chicago last month during the midterm elections, there was a referendum on the ballot where voters were able to weigh in on whether or not they wanted a plastic straw ban. And I think it was around over 60% of voters said that they are in favor of a plastic straw ban. So people are speaking, people are more aware of their consciousness and their footprint here on Earth, and they're just trying to make it a better place.
I love it. Okay, we're going to do a game here, but quickly, before we go to the game now, I just am thinking about the triangle of cities that you played in the NFL. Which city has the best pizza? Win, place, show. Minio's and ILO's in Pittsburgh.
Minio's, wow.
It's very good. And then you have the New York Giant Cuts.
Wow.
And then in Chicago, you have the deep dish. Win, place,
I'm not
show.
A deep dish guy.
Okay, so that's last.
That is an awful experience to eat a pizza.
Well, I mean, that's a little bit too much. Yeah. I mean, an awful experience, but it's too much.
I am not a fan.
You can't eat it. The thing about pizza is that you can eat it every day, but not deep dish pizza.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you can only have one slice of deep
that's
dish
right.
pizza.
And it's touristy anyway.
Yeah, like that's much so.
It's something you do. It's a novelty, but people from Chicago don't sit around and eat deep dish pizza.
No, it's not a thing.
Right.
It's definitely not a thing.
Best kind of wiener?
Chicago.
Chicago's got the best wiener.
Yeah.
Mundy is wrong.
Portillo's?
About that. Yeah, but they do.
Come
I don't
on,
like
Portillo's?
I don't like the. I don't like it when they. You know, steamed is okay, but boiled wieners I don't like. I like it grilled.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
like
sure.
the O. You
yeah.
ever go to the O?
Yeah. Get some fries.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's.
I never got a hot dog at the O. I would always get fries.
Okay. You would always get the fries with the gravy.
Oh, no. Cheese.
Oh, you didn't get the gravy. Oh, the cheese is good. But you know what? Next time you go there, I want you to try this. Get some vinegar. Get the malt vinegar on there. Then I want you to get the gravy. And then when you come back down from cloud nine, I want you to shout to the heavens, thank you, Dave Damashek, wherever you are.
Right on. I got you. For sure. Okay.
All right.
I'm not a gravy guy, though.
Best. You don't like gravy? What the, who don't like gravy? I don't think gravy is celebrated enough in our society.
You know what?
We could, there would be a lot, you could take a lot of average food and make it sing with gravy. If gravy were more prominent, and like, if it was just a thing,
gravy doesn't have a taste.
They could just say.
Gravy is just like this bland, ugly looking thing that you just kind of put, like, gravy is kind of unnecessary, really.
I mean, I don't even know what. This this conversation has gone off the rails and fast. All right, let's get – I want to play a game with you now because, like I say, you know, high school football, it's no secret to anybody in football America, is very important to the people on the banks of the Three Rivers. So many legends have come off of those banks, specifically at QB.
Best in the country.
It's weird, too, because people don't throw the ball around in Western PA football necessarily, and yet it's yielded the most Hall of Fame QBs, you know, by far and away, I would think.
Sure.
All right, MVP, we're going to play a game here. Behind the glass there, Ryan Mundy. See, now you're a Woodland Hills Wolverine legend and recruited heavily across the land. You went to Michigan. Blue chip recruit. Behind the glass there is our own Kent Brown. He's a producer. He is a Pittsburgh high school savant in this way. I'm going to give you guys both some names here.
Okay.
And whoever shouts out the correct answer first. I'm going to tell you some NFL football players or maybe at least college players here. MOVP has put together a list here for us of some of those names. And whoever can tell me where this guy went to Pittsburgh area high school first will get the point. All right? Now,
perfect.
If you're ready with your answer, hello to you, Kent Brown.
How are you?
Well, I'm excited to see how this plays out here. I want
all
you...
Right,
you yell out, Kent Brown, when you are ready to answer. You yell out former Steelers quarterback Bubby Brister. Just yell out Bubby.
Bubby.
And then Ryan Mundy, I want you to
don't
shout out.
Don't give me Neil O'Donnell. Please don't give me Neil. At 95 Super
I wouldn't
Bowl
do that.
Still scars me.
I like you too much. You, please. Listen, I'm sick. The mention now has upset me almost as much as
Larry
you talk
Brown.
About Chicago Wieners.
Larry Brown. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Two picks.
We don't need that. We don't need that ugliness right now.
Yeah.
Come on, Mundy. Now,
I already went there with the gravy.
Mundy, when you are ready to with an answer, I want you to shout out former Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver in the 80s, 6'8", Weegee Thompson. You yell out Weegee. So Bubby for Kent, You, Mundy, you yell out Ouija.
Got it.
First name on the list. Here we go. Went to Notre Dame. Went to San Francisco. Won some Super Bowls. Finished
Bobby.
Off with the Chiefs. The name is Joe Montana. Yes, Kent Brown.
Ringgold.
Did you know that one, Mundy?
I did.
You knew that one.
Yeah, but you were saying like.
Yeah, that's you were like, a little early there. Like, that's true, Kent.
No,
you
can jump
be
in.
Cool, man.
I hear San Francisco and Notre
Dame.
Kinda I'm
like,
not,
it's kind of like
waiting.
Jeopardy. He didn't wait till the end of the
He
end.
Didn't wait. And I feel that there should be no point allowed on that one. Because in the vacuum of law, you know, there were no laws set forth.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know what? I'm going to say zero. That was a warm-up.
Okay, warm-up.
You got to wait until I say the last name. Then you can speak. All right, ready? Here we go.
Or how about you just say the name? Because I don't know if we need all
I
these
like
context.
I like that idea for Ryan.
We don't need, like, college or professional.
I don't need all the help. I think I'll take care of how we'll do it. All right, I'll do it the way you want because you're the guest, Mundy. Ready? Here we go.
Ready.
About to go into a whole soliloquy about how he went to Alabama and played for
Ouija.
Joe Namath.
I was supposed to say Ouija.
Oh, okay, yeah, you were. But you jumped. I thought you just scolded Kent Brown for jumping the gun. Then you just jumped the gun. Ready? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's do
we
it
both
again.
Jumped it.
Joe Namath.
Ouija.
Do you want me to be a gentleman, Kent Brown, and allow
sure.
our guests to try it?
Beaver Falls.
MVP.
That's yep. That is right.
Oh, do we have the give us the ding so it sings? There we go. Next up, here we go. So Mundy up by one. All right, here we go. Next up, Danny Marino.
Bobby.
Oh, Ryan Mundy got that one in. Go ahead.
Central Catholic.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it, Kent Brown. You're getting whipped.
I got Joe Montana, but you didn't give it to me.
No.
It should be 2-1.
Yeah, but Kent Brown, you know what? Now you're seeing what a pro athlete's quickness is all about. Quick twitch. Get with it, Kent Brown.
We'll fun fact, I went to Central Catholic my freshman year, too.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
The Vikings.
Yep.
Yeah.
In Oakland.
Yeah, they had the nice horns on their purple hats.
Yeah.
Here we go. Another legend. They're all legends. Ditka.
Bobby.
What? Kent Brown. Mundy's getting you.
Aliquippa.
That's correct. That's where my mother was from. She's from wasn't allowed growing up. Wasn't allowed to play with Ditka and his older brother because they used to, when girls would get up on the jungle bars, they would pull underpants down. That's true. I asked a friend of mine once asked Ditka about that, and he confirmed, "Yep, that's true. That sounds like me." Is what Ditka said. That's what he said. So, all right, come on, dignity, Kent Brown,
okay. I'll
Unitas.
Rally. Bobby.
I gave it to him.
St. Justin's. Went to the same high school as my grandfather.
All right. Well, good for you. But this again, you better rally here. Here we go. I'm going to say it the correct way, the Pittsburgh way. Tony Dorsett.
Bobby.
Tony Dorsett?
Hopewell.
That's correct. All right. Now we're tied?
Yeah, we're tied.
If we are tied, but in theory, I feel like we both could say Ouija and Bubby before you even.
You know all that. You've known all these so far.
Pretty, yeah.
I know
St. Justin's?
Huh?
He knew St. Justin's?
I didn't know that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have surprised me.
Here we go. Revis.
Bubby. I mean,
Bubby.
Ouija.
hey, Bubby.
No. Mundy beat you.
Aliquippa.
That's correct. All right. So 3-2 Mundy. Here we go. Curtis Martin.
Bubby.
Kent Brown.
Alderdice.
Did you know that one?
I did.
You knew the dice?
Yeah,
right.
My uncle coached him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Aaron Donald.
Bobby.
Ooh, I too close to call. MVP?
I think that one was Kent.
Kent?
Penn Hills.
State champions. He didn't know that. Did you know that?
I hated Penn Hills growing up. They were our enemies. And, like, Penn Hills is funny because that's the school, and you can probably vouch for this. They're the best at everything until about 9th or 10th grade, and then they fall apart in high school all the time.
Oh, yeah. We whip them
in, like, every sport.
We used to always go to the Pizza Hut right there, you know, right up.
Rhode Eye Road?
Right up off of Rhode Eye Road. Take the right at the top of Rhode Eye Road. There's that Pizza Hut. They had it was like the old school Pizza Hut, too, not like a delivery-only place. Like, it was a sit-down restaurant. They had a great salad bar. Remember that?
Yeah. I was in China a few weeks ago. Pizza Hut is still like a fine dining establishment over there.
That's right. Growing up, that's exactly what
it's
it was.
Weird.
The buffets, they always had the lunch
fine dining.
Yeah, the eastern suburbs of Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was fine dining out there as well. Next up, Jason Taylor.
Bobby.
Ryan, here, well, let's go.
Woodland Hills High School.
Yeah, he better get that one.
Did you go there? Did you think Michigan, or was it? Were you thrown by the helmets being the same at Woodland Hills as they are at Michigan?
No, I always just had an affinity, one for Charles Woodson. That was like a legendary type moment. And then my really good friend, Steve Breston, went there the year before and kind of blazed a trail. And I was like, oh, Steve's there. It kind of makes it an easy transition. So
how come guys don't, you know, it is sad. Why don't they go to Pitt anymore?
You know what? I say if everybody from Pittsburgh would have went to Pitt.
That's right.
We would have probably had a national championship.
That's so
right.
I believe
that wholeheartedly.
I don't understand why. See, you've been in all three of those cities. In Pittsburgh, this would be true about football. And in basketball, it would be true in Chicago and New York City. They need to get a head coach. And Chris Mullin is now up there in New York City. And he should just announce, I am not recruiting anyone who lives more than 30 miles from where I stand right now. And if you are from anywhere inside of that radius and think about going anywhere other than here, right, then you are a traitor to your city, right?
Yeah.
A DePaul guy in Chicago, the DePaul head coach could do the same thing. Like, yeah I'm only recruiting Chicago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Walt Harris did not do a good job of that. But even in spite of it, like, Pitt consistently puts out, like, not only first-round draft picks, but, like, legendary-type guys.
I
Larry
know,
Fitzgerald, it's... Aaron Donald, Revis. Like, those guys are legendary.
Shady McCoy.
Shady, right. Very good players.
On and on the list goes.
Very I mean, good players.
It's embarrassing, but, and yet they struggle to go 7-6 every year. Okay, so we're back to it. Does anybody have the score at this point?
I think you were doing the score.
This is going beautiful.
He's ahead by one.
LeVar Arrington.
Ouija. North Hills.
Whoa, Kent Brown, are you just broken now emotionally or what?
He was a little
not
off.
Not at all.
Why? Okay, well, I don't know what strategy you're employing here. It's time to get with it, friend. We're in the fourth quarter of this game. Gronk.
Ouija.
Oh, Kent Brown.
Woodland Hills.
Correct.
You got to give that one to me.
Well, listen, you got to win it for yourself, Mundy.
But that's my high school, though.
Well, all right. Well, I have to kiss you into that one because you're supposed to say that. Here we go. Terrell Ouija. Pryor. Mondays, the gamesmanship, saying it before I can even get a Terrell Jeanette. Pryor.
Yeah, I played against him in high school. It wasn't fun.
Leon Hart.
Ouija.
Oh, come on.
Woodland Hills.
No, you're wrong.
Woodland
Hills.
Turtle Creek High School. Yeah.
Brown. All right, this one is for all the marbles.
The marbles.
No other name matters anymore. I always like that in game shows when they do that. Like, you play for like 20 minutes and then they're like, hey, this one settles it all. Like,
what were we doing for the last 19 minutes?
Chaz Ouija. Batch.
Who?
Chaz, Bobby.
Chaz Batch. Go ahead, Mundy. For the win.
Oh, Steel Valley. You called him Chaz.
Mundy is our winner.
He didn't even know who you were saying. He was just saying Ouija.
I had no idea. I did.
Hey, it's gamesmanship. Congratulations to you, Mundy. I'm sorry, Kent Brown. For one, am positively stunned. Hey, Mundy, it was fun to kibitz with you. Best wishes with Swizzle.
So
how do we check it out?
www.swizzle.com. S-W-Z-L-E.
S-W-Z-L-E. Good times. Hey, by the way, anybody ever told you you're a handsome devil?
No, but thank you so much.
No one's ever told you that before.
A handsome devil?
Yeah.
No.
Kent Brown, he's a handsome guy, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah, exactly. MVP.
412.
Handsome devil.
He is a handsome guy,
yeah,
right?
Pittsburgh
guy.
Congratulations on that. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
You guys appreciate get all the luck. Then the other people are me. But first, let me tell you about GetRoman.com and make sure you use it with /Damashek, D-A-M-E-S-H-E-K. Four-time baby maker Dave Damashek here with a reminder that most guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. And I can tell you, in my professional opinion, you definitely do not want to be rubbing dirt on it. In fact, that probably would be worse. Best case, it's break even, but potentially making matters even worse. No, That's not the cure for your erectile dysfunction. Study shows 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it, and I hope it's like 0 to 5% of guys who rub dirt on it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out for by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medications right to your door with Roman. No waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy, no piles of dirt nearby in case you get tempted. You can handle everything online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/Damashek. It's D-A-M-E-S-H-E-K. Fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/Damashek. That's GetRoman.com/Damashek for a free online visit. Again, GetRoman.com/Damashek. Also, let me tell you about Control Center by Cavo. It's the one remote that does it all. No one knows how to work a remote like Dave Damashek, and this one gets my highest recommendation. This holiday season, help your loved ones take control of their TV with the gift of Control Center. Control Center cleans up your home theater so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use remote. Stop wasting precious time searching for shows. You plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console. Yes, Control Center handles it all. It's easy for everyone to use, even your father-in-law who can't get the game on, let alone what Damashek's capable of doing with it. Next stop, the moon. Control Center works with Amazon Alexa, Google Home, so you can even watch TV hands-free. Relax this holiday season and enjoy stress-free TV with Control Center. Shop now. Get 40% off Control Center with promo code DAVE, D-A-V-E. That's $59.95, which is 40% off the regular pricing of $99.95. Control Center is available at Cavo, CAAVO.com, and Best Buy. Control Center by Cavo. One remote that does it all.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Well, well, well. Look who it is.
Hi, Dave.
The older brother, Derek Carr.
I'm trying not to gloat. Is my facial expression giving it away?
You seem very
the
happy.
The joy that I have.
A glow about you, and I don't like it one bit.
I apologize for that.
Just you know what?
50%.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happened in the East Bay. First of all, were you there for it, David Carr?
No, I was not.
You weren't there?
No, I was in Oakland last week against Kansas City. Pittsburgh, I had a... Not that I didn't have a great feeling about it, but, you know... It's a long way to go. It's a long way to travel. I figured I'd watch it at home.
How have you spoken with Derek since the game?
He was elated.
He was elated.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very excited about that victory. Pittsburgh's a good football team. You got a good football team.
Are we sure about that at this point? They just lost to the Raiders after all.
If it had a rough patch, but, well, I mean, if your quarterback played the whole game, it might be different. He should come back in and help his team.
All right, what about that? Was that the weird? Was that bizarre? Have you ever heard of such a weird sort of, I don't know, miscommunication or fuzzy communication or whatever? Wait, the Hall of Fame quarterback was ready to go coming out of the locker room for the second half, but the head coach of the team, who felt at this point is probably not a future Hall of Famer, decided to stay with the backup QB. Inexplicably. Well, no, it did have an explanation.
Yeah, they were in a rhythm.
Yeah. Coach Tomlin said, we were going with the rhythm of the game.
Rhythm of punting it back to the Raiders to give them more opportunities. It was very interesting to me. I mean, you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You see a lot of the shenanigans that happen with Ben. If he was healthy enough to go in the game, why wasn't he healthy 10 minutes before that?
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out more.
I was saying, though, I mean, they were going to wait until they were down. You could feel it.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Can we survive? Can we keep seven? Yeah. Let's give them a break for the second half and survive
did.
These lowly
they,
Raiders.
They, except they that they, you keep yeah, saying, they, you keep saying lowly. I'm just fine. It's fine. I'll let it go.
How's Derek's frame of mind? Does he feel a little bit? I mean, you say elated. That makes me, you know, with all due respect, he is your sibling. I know you care about him, but frankly, it sounds a little bit jerky. You know, like
he's elated. It was their Super Bowl.
Okay, but does Derek understand that he has hurt the feelings of like a million or more people at one time?
Well, I think like your parents would tell you when something happens negatively towards you. A lot of times you brought it on yourself. The Raiders aren't the first team that they've lost to in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So there's a pattern of behavior that's led to this. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Do you want to call Derek up right now? I'd like to scold him or your mom.
My mom I'd like to ask you. It was a good day for the Carr family. I'm not gonna lie. It was
call someone from the Carr family up because I this won't stand. Or yeah. You can be the conduit for my message.
That's fine. Send it.
You've ruined an entire city's month of December. This is supposed to be a happy holidays, and now it's a sad one because of you, Derek Carr.
I'm still smiling. It's
Why
weird
is
that
funny
I'm
to you?
Still happy, no matter how angry you get. I think that's the joy of football. It's the joy of where we're at in this game.
You don't think
you
Derek,
had a rooting interest? I had a rooting interest. I'm smiling. You're upset.
Christmas I've interacted still, with Mama Carr on social media,
yeah.
And I'm quite certain that she understands that what Derek Carr did was mean-spirited, and I think Mama Carr would agree with me that he owes the city of Pittsburgh and, in fact, Steelers fans the world over an apology for what he did. They may not make the playoffs because of what Derek did on Sunday.
There were enough of them in Oakland. You guys travel well.
Yeah.
You do travel well. If they don't make the playoffs, it's just what it is, you know? They had their opportunities.
The Raiders not making the playoffs after they purged Khalil Mack. There was a talent deficit to begin with.
Yeah.
There are teams around the NFL that just aren't up to snuff in terms of personnel. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not that. Mm. Given not just this season, but in total with, let's say, the last half decade. Le'Veon Bell, we know the whole story there. They didn't get anywhere close to a Super Bowl. Yes, they went to a title game in Foxborough, but that was a blowout from the jump. What would you make? I mean, is it fair that Steelers fans are calling for the head of Mike Tomlin 12 years through his tenure? Stability is great, and that's what the Steelers, they're very proud of that stability, the three coaches since 1969 and all that sort of thing. But at some point, the sum is not equaling the parts.
I think that there's something that's glaringly obvious to people that are outside of Pittsburgh and even people that watch the Steelers on a regular basis. And it all came to a head in the second half of that football game yesterday. Why is your quarterback standing on the sideline when he is clearly healthy enough to be in the football game? That kind of just tells you everything that has happened, I think, personally. And I know people say, oh, you don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I think Ben Roethlisberger is an extremely talented quarterback. I think he actually technically had a great football game when he was in the game yesterday.
Right.
I think if he plays that entire game, I don't think that they have that lull for a quarter and a half where they don't score any points. He clearly went back in the game and walked down the field against the Raiders defense. Raiders defense hasn't been world beaters all year. So I think it comes down to that. Mike Tomlin, what is Mike Tomlin to do? Is he going to go back in the game?
This is a QB issue. You're
I think so.
From what you
leadership from the quarterback position. Period. That's it. The defense is good enough.
So you don't I think they
have some pass rushers.
Quarter,
they have guys
I know, but in
plays.
The last 3 weeks, the defense has been atrocious. They're not getting any stops.
They have pass rush. A lot of teams don't even have that. At least they have some guys that can get to the quarterback, you know? I mean, that's something.
Do you think – so this is fascinating. So and that's a completely legitimate tack to take for all of his physical deeds, for all the victories. You think that the reason that the Steelers are not – that they're letting a couple few games slip pretty much annually at this point and that they don't get one of those top two seeds, putting themselves in a nice spot to try to make a Super Bowl run, is owed more to the quarterback than it is to the head coach?
Absolutely. Look at the – we know how important that game was yesterday. And yet a healthy enough Ben Roethlisberger stood on the sideline and watched his team go out there and do nothing for a quarter and a half. Like, if Dave Dameshek were the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers and you had hurt your ribs in the way that Ben Roethlisberger had and you were healthy enough to be, would you have gone back on the field the instant you came out of the locker
room?
Yes,
but two things about that. Dave Dameshek has a couple of things. One's called moxie, the other one's called grit. So yes, I would be out
on
the field.
I don't argue with that at all.
But
so that's where my issue is with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I wonder though, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I wonder if something had to have gone down in the locker room.
Now that's the weird part.
Because Tomlin leaving the field tells the sideline reporter, yeah, he should be fine for the second half. And then he doesn't come out for the second half. Then he's in the locker room. I mean, I don't know. Is he getting treatment of some sort? You know, and it doesn't kick in. Well, that might be a possibility.
But look, I watch the Pittsburgh Steelers practice.
Yeah, it's an emergency.
That's
the
fitting.
Steelers' playoff hopes are dire.
I'm with you.
On life support.
I'm with you. Ben doesn't wear his helmet to practice. He kind of does what he wants. So you go to the game, and he's hurt, and he's kind of hanging out. I'm gonna make sure this really feels good. Maybe, you know, a lot of times he warms up in the tunnel. Maybe he was underneath the stadium throwing the ball around to make sure he feels good. We don't really know what happened under there.
Fascinating insight, though. Yeah. I'm surprised because for all the finger-pointing going on in the last couple few weeks there, I mean, I guess Seven did take some heat for the bad pick in Denver in the waning seconds there, but otherwise it's been much more about Tomlin and the kicking and the defensive
I know
scheme.
That stuff's been bad, right? It hasn't been great. The kick. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, did he slip? Maybe the field was bad, but, I mean, did we really think he wasn't going to hit the upright? Even if he did get good contact. Mm-hmm. So there's issues. And Ben is not the issue. Ben has won a ton of football games, and he's a great quarterback. I just think that when you talk about not having home field advantage, understanding how important one or two games are every year, I think that there's just a little bit of a disconnect there with the quarterback.
Do you give the Steelers much of a chance? What's more likely, that the Steelers – beat New England in Pittsburgh and then go to New Orleans and win that one? Basically, they have to at worst split those two games, or that it's more likely that they lose by a combined 5 touchdowns against those two teams.
I think that's more accurate.
Do you really?
Yeah, just because of, well, the recent history of Tom Brady against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't think it's a personnel thing at all. I think it goes to one of your points with as far as the defensive play calling. Tom Brady, they're going to line them up, spread them out, and make these guys that want to rush the passer. T.J. Watt's going to be in coverage. He's not going to be. I mean, that's just what they're going to find a way to put him in coverage, and it's going to be difficult, and that's just what they've always done. And then you got New Orleans. So they do the same thing.
Well, listen, just please be sure you pass along my message to Derek Carr that he hurt my feelings and he hurt my family's feelings.
I understand.
I want your mom to know about it and your dad and for Darren and everyone to know that while they're out tripping the light fantastic and feeling happy, what a victory for the Carr family. You know, I want everybody at the Carr house at Christmas to take a second and be like, the Dameshek family is not happy right now.
I can almost guarantee that there'll be a moment where we are only focused on the Dameshek family and their feelings around Christmas.
All right. I guess that's
something.
I can
promise you that.
Please extend also my congratulations to Derek. What was your favorite pass he threw?
The one to Seth.
The deep ball to Seth.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what won the game. That was a pretty good throw.
Boy, the Raiders were star-crossed throughout the game, and the Steelers refused to take everything that the Raiders were trying to give them with the 15-yard penalty.
I'm telling you, they had so many penalties. It's crazy.
All right, let's talk about something else.
Okay.
Let's move on from this ugliness that has created cleared the vision between me and David Carr.
Clear.
The future of the Handsome Dave's professional football team is now in peril because of what Derek did. So let's talk about these rookie QBs.
Okay.
Is it possible, by the way, that that all 5 rookie QBs drafted in the first round are going to work out?
I think it's great.
I mean, literally, it could be 100%.
Yeah, really good.
Because it doesn't seem like Baker Mayfield's going to flame out at this point. That seems hard to imagine.
Yep.
Josh Allen looks good.
He does.
Lamar Jackson looks good.
Yep.
In a weird way, it's Darnold and Rosen.
Darnold and Rosen make me nervous. I mean, I'm the most nervous about those two guys. And I think a lot of it is their supporting cast. I look at that, and there's not much there. You know, Rosen makes some great throws. And Darnold, he's got all the ability. I think he is the most talented of all the guys as far as just having everything that you would want. They just don't have great teams.
That was nearly unanimous that Darnold was the most talented.
And he still looks that way. He really still looks that way. But it is pretty incredible that all five guys are playing as well as they have been.
We've talked about it before, and let's talk about it again now. You can't just attribute everything to cold weather. That, well, hey, right around December, gets chillier out, and defenses start to play better. Right. But a lot of teams play in domes, or they play in warmer conditions and everything. Although it did really seem like Jared Goff did not like the chilly air. It didn't seem like the Rams were comfortable in the chilly air. Combined with seeing Lamar Jackson sort of gash the Chiefs, is this now an indication that this is where even 2018, in the year of high offense and limited defense, that now in this last 3 weeks of the regular season and beyond, that the defenses are going to figure far more prominently than they have?
And I sort of love it. I really kind of like it.
Huh.
Because that's it. It's always been that way. Weather starts to change, it gets a little colder, and you have to start running the football and playing defense. And so that's why I think
it's not the cold, right? Isn't it more practical? Isn't it that?
Have you ever thrown a cold football or caught one? It's like a rock. Yes, it literally is a rock.
Besides that, isn't it more practically that now every offense has shown pretty much everything they have in the playbook, and now every defensive coordinator has gotten a good look at every team's tendencies, and you know what they're going to do, and now it's more of a matter, can we stop them from doing what they want to do?
I think there's some of that.
Now that we know exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, there's some of that, and then it comes down to, okay, well, now you just have to be more physical, and that's what coaches are kind of preaching now. Is like, okay, all the stuff's out of the bag. Like, all our smoke and mirrors and the tricks are gone. We have to be a more physical team, and every coach is, even guys like Sean McVay, even though they didn't really stick to that mantra, you got to run Todd Gurley more. I mean, he's your best player. You have to give him the football more. I don't care that he has, you know, he's averaging a yard and a half or 2 yards a carry. You still got to hand it to him because that's just the way it is. It's the way football's always been. I love the fact that it's going to come down to that, and that's why I even like Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, who should be Lamar Jackson 100% is the guy in Baltimore right now because of the defense that you're playing and the ability to run the football. That's all you need right now. You look at, you know, teams in the NFC. I mean, with the Cowboys, how they're playing football. I mean, that's the way it is. Play good defense, be able to run it. Give it to Zeke 40 times. That's what's
if you believe in the copycat league and trends and everything else, the teams that are really best suited, teams that have the balance of a top half dozen offense and a top half dozen defense, the Bears, the Cowboys, these are the teams that are
those
more
are the
red. The Chargers, they all, based on recent history, have a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl than even the Patriots do, or the Chiefs, and all these great stories that we've seen so far this year. Last question, David Carr. Well, actually, give me your win play show on the rookie QBs right now. An update.
Okay,
let's redraft.
I think
let's go by the order that it would go. First overall pick. The Cleveland Browns are on the board. John Dorsey, pick anyone you want. Go ahead.
I think he picks Baker again.
Baker again.
Yeah.
Giants 2.
They don't take Saquon, is what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm asking you. No, they don't have to.
I think they still take Barkley.
Do you?
I think he's the best rookie player. I think. Yeah.
Then the Jets.
Man, that's tough. I think it's the same order. I really
do.
Yeah, I think so, because I think I would still take Darnold even after what I've seen. I think that I don't know if I was the Jets if I would have taken him. That's tough because
you're trying to inhabit the Jets' headspace, and of course they're not going to concede. Yeah, we made a big mistake there. I'm talking about you, David.
Yeah. I think I'd still take Sam.
All right, last question then, as Christmas fast approaches, favorite holiday special. Among you and the kids when you sit down.
Man.
You got Rudolph.
We do.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's fun.
Frosty.
You know,
we watched
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
Yeah, 2 nights ago, Saturday night. It was great. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
That's one for all the
because everybody can enjoy it. You know, the cat gets electrocuted, but then there's other things for the adults to laugh at, and the kids don't even understand what's happening. So it's good.
If we've learned anything over last few minutes, it's that the Carr family is heartless, laughing at an electrocuted cat and the broken heart of Damashek.
It's fine.
Enjoy it.
Cat was fine.
Enjoy it.